Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we'll be doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. Hi, I'm your host Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on April 17th, 2020, from my home, my new at-home studio. You should see all the stuff on my walls. Just so you know, some of this information in the podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. And this podcast is filled with South Carolina COVID-19 news and stories that matter to you, your family, and your fellow South Carolinians during this uncertain time. Just news and facts about South Carolina, folks. That's all. Each episode is structured to give you the latest news up front, followed by additional context, on-the-ground reporting, and also your voices. Yes, we want you to send us your voice messages. And we end it all with a nice little wind down. And like I mentioned, we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life, what you're doing to get by, if you're still working, or maybe you're navigating unemployment. Tell us what's happening, give us some tips maybe, or anything you think we should know. You can leave us a 1 minute long message at 803-563-7169. Leave us a 1 minute long message with your name, where you're at, and you know what's going on in your world at 803-563-7169. Now let's look at the latest. Currently in South Carolina, the spread of COVID-19 is still in the acceleration phase, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control officials. There have been 116 deaths, and currently there are 4,086 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of April 17th at 4 p.m. And also as of today, 67% of South Carolina patients confirmed to have had COVID-19 are estimated to have recovered from the disease, according to DHEC. Also, it's worth noting that we saw the biggest one-day jump with 276 new cases being reported this week on Thursday. Officials said this was because a lab was slow in reporting the results. It also came a day after one of the lowest daily rates had been reported. But barring a big jump on Saturday, this week will represent another decline in new cases, whereas deaths have increased over the last week. And let's do a little look back here. It took us 26 days to reach 1,000 cases, 5 days to reach 2,000, another 5 to reach 3,000, and now it's taken us 7 days to reach 4,000. So things are looking up. It's slowing down. And we have a follow-up on the tornado outbreak from earlier this week. Officials said Friday morning that there were 20 confirmed tornadoes in the state on Monday. 206 homes have major damage and 147 were destroyed. 1,000 other homes were affected by the storms. Hey, bro, did you hear that the governor said we can get back on our boat?
Oh, no way, bro. Can I come on your boat?
That's right. Public boat ramps reopened Friday at noon. Let's see if everyone can behave themselves this time around, huh? Remember, 2 people or less per boat, unless it's your immediate family. No congregating at sandbars, no tying up, no throwing down, no hootenannies, nothing like that. And again, you can't anchor unless you're fishing. So, with that being said, where's the lead's boat invite? We're standing by. And since only 2 of us, we're going to just need to commandeer your whole boat. Now, the governor said this is one small step toward returning to normalcy. In addition to opening the boat ramps, Governor McMaster also penned a cordial letter to lawmakers saying that he would work with them on a date for them to return after session formally ends on May 14th to pass a continuing resolution to keep the state government funded through the new fiscal year. The virus peak, however, is still expected in early May, which obviously won't be a good time for them to return. But a continuing resolution still needs to be approved by both chambers. Remember, they've all passed their own, but now it needs to be approved by both to keep government funded after June 31st. Here's the governor.
So what I proposed to them was that they need not return, that I will call them back in June. And by June, particularly by the fiscal year starts on July the 1st, so by the end of June, we expect our economy to be humming. We expect to be well back in business by then, and I can call them back then, and they can come in then and pass that continuing resolution and any other important matters they think, and that way the government will not shut down. We will have no concern about having the government shut down. We will not let the government shut down, and it will continue on into the next fiscal year.
As for the upcoming June 9th primaries, they are going forth as planned. Currently, voters in South Carolina can vote by mail. It's called absentee voting. All you need to do is request a ballot for one of 16 reasons. However, one of those reasons is not a pandemic. For that to become a reason for folks to vote absentee, that would require an act by the State House, which is kind of a bit of a challenge on a good day, as we've seen. So choose any other of the 16 reasons to get a ballot. Now here's what the governor said about any postponement talk.
Well, at this point, we see no reason to do that. Again, we expect things to be moving along very well by then. So there's no reason to do that. We have current voting methods with absentee voting and those things that if we utilize those to the fullest, we ought to be in good shape. And of course, the runoffs will be on June the 23rd. And as we look around at other states, some of them have postponed their elections that were being held in May, and they are moving them back into June, some about the same time as ours. So that seems to be, again, a positive sign around the country.
And the governor also mentioned that the state was receiving $48 million from the CARES Act to cover costs it has incurred so far responding to the pandemic. There is still a lot of talk about when the economy will reopen. There have been protests at capitals around the country with people roaring to open everything back up. But like Dr. Fauci says, it's not just like flipping on a light switch. And Governor Henry McMaster has made that abundantly clear this past week in press conferences that he wants South Carolina humming again, but a full-scale reopening will be guided by data. 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 Here's McMaster on Thursday after getting off a conference call with the White House and other governors.
Next week, I will announce something new. We are going to call it Accelerate South Carolina. And what is that? That is to accelerate, to find the best practices to get us back working at full speed and to go back, ramp back up to where we were before the virus came along. As you know, we were announcing record numbers of job growth and all of those things. We were right at the top of our game and growing, and we want to get back there. So we are going to put together a group that will meet. It will be consist of people from manufacturing, from tourism, hospitality, agribusiness, from the state agencies, from the General Assembly, you name it, it'll be there. We'll not be in silos, but be working together, keeping social distancing and doing a lot of things remotely. But we will come up with the best practices to get business humming again as quickly as possible in South Carolina. And it'll be measured just as we measured it carefully going into where we are now, in restricting some businesses, in restricting activities, in asking people to comply with certain things. We're going to be coming out in the same measured and careful way. To do so immediately, to do so too quickly would be reckless, and it would be, if we had a return of the spread of the virus, it'd be virtually impossible for us to turn the system around again. But I'm going to assure you that we are going to find the best ways to do it quickly and safely, and we will have return our economic revitalization and growth. We will have testing for contact tracing. We will be careful with the elderly and the vulnerable, and we want to be sure that we prevent a recurrence.
Now, McMaster says he's confident there will be some openings by May 1st. He even had Department of Commerce Secretary Bobby Hitt with him at the Thursday press conference to provide further context on the state of business in South Carolina. While major manufacturers are currently mothballed due to supplier issues, Hitt said business is still getting done in the state, and he is still fielding calls from prospective businesses looking to invest here.
We are ready for this. We have been planning it. We will have outlines for our companies. We will help them understand exactly what they need to do. The ones that are particularly large ones are very important to us because these will really be our test bed, Governor, when we bring 4,000 people into a building and produce automobiles, we will know that our system works. You know, most manufacturing operations have PPE already, so now we will add some additional PPE. We will add testing. We're working on that. All want there to be testing, and then there'll also be rules for our associates as to how they perform when they go home. How do they prepare to go from a workplace to a home place where they've been around several thousand people? So we're convinced that we have the right protocols in place. We've been working with the medical university and with our other agencies, and we are ready to go. And we will be ready to make recommendations to the governor. and we will be looking forward to bringing our business community back into operation, probably in a staged way, next month, until we get to a complete economy running again, Governor.
Several big businesses have given the Department of Commerce their new safety protocols that they want the agency to share with other businesses so best practices can be put in place across the state. But being safe and regaining confidence will be key to moving forward, Hidd said.
One of the things that's got to happen in all of this is not just the data, but how do we all regain our confidence? How do we regain the confidence that people want to come to South Carolina on vacation? How do we make it feel safe again prior to maybe the time we have a vaccine? And that's going to require us to be smarter and to do things smarter and to do things somewhat in a business-like way. So I don't think we need to worry about our businesses. Our businesses are putting their money on the line, and they're not going to make a move until it makes sense for them. And let me remind you that all manufacturing is open in this state right now. We have manufacturing going on in every town and every hamlet in this state. The ones that are shut down are the very big ones that are shut down because of supply issues.
Whatever happens, it will be rolled out in phases. Even state epidemiologist Dr. Linda Bell weighed in on when the economy should be back. Hint, it's not an exact day, folks. But one thing will need to be clear: a consistent downward trend.
Well, I agree with the governor's statement that we will be looking at the data to tell us about disease activity. So when we reach a period that we are clearly on the downward side of that slope and that disease activity has remained at some low level for some period of time, that we have some reassurance that it's not going back up again, then we would use the information about disease activity and not a date on the calendar, and don't want to risk that rebound that he has mentioned.
Do you think June is feasible?
It depends entirely on how effective our social distancing measures are now. If we can get that curve low and stay in that area. So again, we can't pick a date, but we're looking at disease activity.
Now, all this has been framed by the continuous rise in unemployment insurance benefit claims in the state. Numbers released Thursday morning show a record 87,686 people filed for unemployment benefits for the week ending April 11th. The Department of Employment and Workforce says that total claims for the past 4 weeks total 268,614. Staggering number right there, folks. Here's some more data from DOE. The agency has paid out $67.5 million in regular benefits since March 21st and $105 million in the $600 CARES Act money. Now listen up, gig workers and the self-employed. You should be able to apply by the end of next week to start getting some of these benefits as well. And if you're employed, be grateful. I know I am. And if you're unemployed, hang in there. Things are going to be coming back soon. Addiction and substance use disorder is difficult during good times, but has become even more challenging now with self-isolation and social distancing measures in place. I spoke with Sarah Goldsby, the director of the State Department of Drug Abuse and Other Abuse Services, on This Week in South Carolina via Skype. She expects to see a greater need for treatment services in the coming months because of increased substance use, including alcohol. I opened by asking Sarah about when alcohol use becomes misuse and abuse.
Something that we're seeing just in our own social networks on social media, mm-hmm. this growing norm that, well, I'm home, the kids are here, that's an added pressure, and I may start drinking, you know, in midday, you know, and a lot of jokes about, well, you know, I had a glass of wine with lunch or had a beer, you know, several hours earlier than the after hour norm. And what we're going to see is a whole lot more of that, right, being normalized in a social sense that will lead to folks having an issue when they may not have had one before. Folks who will cross that line from social use into misuse and really seeing a problem with not being able to slow down or really using that daily as a method of coping with the situation.
So how do we pump the brakes on that? How can people recognize those signs and say, okay, maybe I'll wait to, like, you know, my normal time, or, you know, not normal time, but, like, you know, after, like, a happy hour per se, or to with dinner instead of in the middle of the day, or, you know, making sure that people are aware. I mean, is it just because it is becoming normalized? We do see people joking about it, and I think that's, you know, the first step for people thinking, oh, it's no big deal if everyone else is doing it, but obviously everyone's different. So is it a matter of realizing this could become a problem, take it easy, be aware?
Absolutely. awareness is key, and I think conversations in the home are essential, especially with adolescents and with each other. Checking in with each other personally, you know, with our friends who live alone, and asking the hard questions. I think holding each other accountable. Accountability is key right now, and I think anybody in recovery would tell you that accountability is essential in a time like this when we're isolated. We know that now is the time for conversation, and we have put resources and materials and conversation guides on our website, aodas.sc.gov, because we want families and friends to be talking things through and recognizing it with that acute awareness. So anybody who's prone to anxiety or depression or any other mental disorder is particularly vulnerable right now. And a lot of that is what drives the drinking and the substance use. I think being aware of the symptoms of those mental disorders, the anxiety, the depression, and really looking for coping skills that are healthy to address those. Not to mention, you know, services are available statewide, especially through the Department of Mental Health. But recognizing some of those drivers and the healthy coping mechanisms and staying connected, reaching out to friends and family, really having as many conversations as you can by the phone or virtually, so that we're not losing ourselves in those disorders to the isolation.
And this comes at a time when more people are in treatment for opioids, but plenty of options remain available for those in recovery.
We know that we've made some progress. You know, we've got indications that our treatment admissions are up nearly 400%. This time than they were last year. They've just really climbed. We've gotten so many patients into treatment, into the stabilization. When it comes to overdoses, we have been extremely concerned in the current circumstances about overdose. Like I've just been saying again and again with the isolation. In the last few weeks, we've tried to push out about 7,000 boxes of Narcan statewide to make sure that that overdose antidote is available in every single county to anybody who might need it, no questions asked. Those community distribution sites can be found on the justplainkillers.com website. We want to make sure Narcan is available because what we've seen with EMS data since January until now, compared to last year, January until now, we've had about a 23% increase in the number of overdose responses. While we've made some headway, we've brought a lot of folks into treatment and gotten them stable. We know we have a long way to go. And the immediate objective is to make sure we keep people alive. And that's as it always has been, just really making sure that everybody in this situation has Narcan and can keep somebody breathing in the case of an overdose.
And with stimulus money going out, there's a fear of an increase in overdoses and gambling problems. These are serious things to consider, and again, be aware of your drinking. Yes, we sometimes joke about it, which can make it seem socially acceptable, but set boundaries and understand how it can affect you and others. We need to emerge from this stronger and not with any self-inflicted problems. Now, Goldsby said there are a bevy of virtual resources and recovery tools available online. We have a link to those in our show notes at scetv.org/sclead. Now, this is our wind down section where we want to hear from you. Tell us what's going on in your world. Do you still have to go to work? Are you working from home? Are you a medical professional on the front lines of this pandemic? How are you handling self-isolation? Tell us at 803-563-7169. This is our new normal, and we're all in this together, and we want to know what it's like for y'all. Leave us a message, 803-563-7169, and you might just get on the pod. Actually, you will get on the pod. Now, let's check the machine.
What's up, guys? This is Joe in Columbia. I am an employee of a pretty well-known national grocery chain that shall remain nameless. But I would like to just say that we're all a little stressed out. Everything is a little crazy right now. And you're all coming in to get your meat because apparently the meat shortage is coming up next. That's the next pandemic is running out of bacon for a lot of people. I would just like to remind everybody, just you don't have to thank us for being on the front lines or whatever people in grocery are being accused of these days. You don't have to, you know, bow down to us or anything like that. All we ask is that you're nice and understanding, because a lot of the times, and in most cases, people that are serving you at the registers, on the aisles, whatever, they have no control over what's in the store right now. A lot of it is just kind of up to whatever we can get in. And just keep that in mind. And if we say we don't have something, just say, hey, no problem. I'll check back next time. Otherwise, just smile and say, hey, how you doing from 6 feet away with your mask on? And continue to have a great day. And otherwise, I suggest people do what I'm doing right now, which is digging up useless grass in my front yard and making a garden instead. It could be flowers. It could be food. It could be, you know, whatever you want it to be. Just get outside and enjoy some fresh air and get some sunshine wherever you are, even if that just means taking a walk down up the beautiful Timmerman Trail, which is what I did yesterday. I hope you guys are doing good. Have a great one.
Great message, Joe. You gave us a great glimpse into your grocery store life. Very important to know. It's something that everyone's been talking about, but we appreciate you giving us that first-person perspective. And you called us while you were gardening. I'm assuming that's because you listened to our previous episode where we talked about gardening with lead horticulturist Brenton Fox.
Illustrious Brenton Fox.
So you did that. You called us while gardening. You left us a message. You've been listening. I'm assuming you were listening while you were gardening. You called us. So this is like a triple word with like triple letter high scoring right now going on here.
That's
you
hit a bingo. All cylinder, that's a bingo.
Hit on all cylinders. Thank you again. But thank you again for the call. I'm not thanking you for your frontline service as you clearly stipulated.
Yeah. And, let's give them a ceremonial brown liquor. How about that, huh?
You earned right a brown here. Liquor from us.
Brown liquor.
And we want to hear more stories like that from our leaders, so thank you guys. And a disclaimer, the views and opinions of the South Carolina Lead voicemail box do not necessarily reflect those of South Carolina Public Radio.
All right, Gavin, real quick, what are your weekend plans?
Well, all that discussion about grocery stores, you know, my favorite is, of course, Costco. It's a warehouse, not necessarily a grocery store. But I do enjoy going there. They're also really good with their frontline workers and keeping things clean and like spacing people out. So I might go there
You're
and get my Prosecco.
You're hot for Costco. You
very
love
big
it.
On Costco. I get my big bag of spinach. I get my bag of chicken thighs. I mean, I go through all this stuff really quick. That's all I eat. And
it's
then
your feed.
I get the Prosecco. The Prosecco.
The Prosecco
because it's the best. It's the best $7 Prosecco you can do. So then I do my mimosas on Saturday and Sunday. A little treat. I get my boxed wine, $13 for the week. You know, I know we were talking
Listen
about alcohol,
this.
But this is all within the realm. And you know, you get the 5 dozen eggs because you can't get the 2 dozen. So you have 5 dozen eggs in your house. What do I do with all these eggs, guys? Send me some recipes. I do a lot of hard boiling, but.
I heard if you scramble them and put them on your face, exfoliates. Great exfoliator.
I've been doing that while hot, yes. No, I do my like 4 egg scramble in the morning. But anyway.
Dynamite. So I suggest everyone watches the Lord of the Rings extended editions if you have, and I know you do, 13 hours to kill. Don't mess around with those fake original theatrical releases that are on Netflix. Garbage. You need the extended editions, minimum 4 hours. Thank you.
Yeah, is it supposed to be crappy this weekend? More severe sun? I mean, it's going to be, it should be some decent, I think, maybe. But yeah, if you have 13 hours to go, by all means.
Lord of the Rings.
I've been slowly rewatching Aliens now, like going through the whole.
Dynamite.
You know, like all of our favorites.
Amazing.
I'm on to the third one will be tonight. So that means.
So
like,
bad.
What, like Resurrection will be on Saturday?
Resurrection is one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
I know, it's going to be tough.
It's really
but
hard.
You got Winona Ryder in there, so that's always exciting.
You and I, though, we are on the ground floor of saying Prometheus is a great movie, though.
I mean, it's better than Resurrection.
But that's a very low bar to clear. But on its own merit, it is a good movie.
Yeah, but...
It's good.
Yeah, you just can't... The second one's really hard for me, too, just because Bill Paxton is just complaining so much.
Game over, man! Game over!
And it's like, ugh. But I just, you know, you can't beat that 80s, well, what, late 70s for the first
it was,
one.
Oh, 79.
Like, yeah, just so quality.
So
just
good.
So quality. So,
so good.
You know, and there's, I know we have everything on Netflix these days, but I'm like, you just find yourself going back to the movies that make you feel good.
Take it away, champ.
So, yeah, so tell us what you're watching. Again, let us know, 803-563-7169. We want to hear from you guys. Want to hear what your weekend was like. And again, thanks for tuning into the pod. You can keep up with the latest on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Once you get your fill of news, take a break from it. I know I do. I go on my walks, y'all. Podcast in the morning walk, and then just wind down in the afternoon. Also, you can follow me on Twitter at Gavin Jackson for the latest, and I'll also let you know if the governor is holding a press conference that day, which is always carried on SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio platforms, usually around 4:30. We are here for you, our lead community, throughout this entire pandemic, and we are in full-scale hashtag lead laugh love mode together. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Game over, man! Game over!